All right, let's turn to this morning, let's turn to 1 Kings now, chapter 16, as we continue studying about the kings. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the kings from the south, which is Judah and Benjamin. But today we're going to talk about the kings of the northern kingdom, which is the rest of the tribes of Israel that have split off from the southern kingdom. I want to bring this message to you. As I was studying this and praying before the Lord, this thought come to me, because it seems like each of these kings are getting involved in the evil ways, and it just seems to be recycling over and over. They're just different people, but the sin is the same. It's just they get into evil and they just recycles and recycles. So that's what I entitled this message, The Recycle of Evil. And we're going to see today how that even with all the evil and sin are going, we're going to see the hand of God reaching out through a prophet, trying to warn them, trying to give them something to alleviate the recycling of this sin in their life that going on and on and on. But we'll see that in order to receive something, you have to be open and available to it. Yeah. And you know what? I want to be open and available when God reveals something to my heart, because if not, it just continues to go to generation to generation to generation. And that's what we're going to see here today. So let's look at chapter 16, and verse 1 says, Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hananiah, against Baasha, saying, Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people, Israel, and you have walked in the ways of Jeroboam and have made my people, Israel, sin to provoke me to anger with all their sin. Verse 3, Surely I will take away the prosperity of Baasha and the prosperity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, we remember in 1 Kings 15, 27 to 29, that Baasha was the one that killed Nadab, which was the son of Jeroboam, and all the rest of the whole family. He killed the king. He conspired. He killed that king, which was right after Jeroboam was his son. He conspired and assassinated him and then took over. And before he could sit on the throne, he went and had all the family, all the males, anybody that belonged to the family. For the fact, that's what usually rulers did, is that if they came in there, they would wipe out the family so that there would be no repercussions against them from any of the family. So he wiped out. But this was predicted to Jeroboam by the prophet many, many chapters ago. I'm using chapters, but many, many years ago. But yet now it's being fulfilled as Baasha goes and he takes the realm. Now the word of the Lord is coming back to him, because Baasha was put in there. And what God is saying, as much as I lift you out of the dust and made you ruler of my people, what he's saying through the prophet, he's telling Baasha, he says, do you think you're there because what you did? You're there because I put you there. Yeah. I put it because I said to Jeroboam, if he didn't straighten up and he didn't walk right in my ways, I would bring judgment. And he says, and this is what God is telling Baasha, okay? Because Baasha is going right into the recycle of evil, and he's doing just as bad as Jeroboam was. So God goes and he gives him a chance. And that's what I love about the Lord. He gave him a chance. He says, I'm bringing the man of God to you to make you understand it is I that put you there and not you yourself. So if you don't straighten out, you and your family are going to be wiped out, just like the man previous before you. You know, it's a funny thing, as people start out good and they start doing things for the Lord, and all of a sudden they forget about who really is doing the things in their life. And we need to be careful with that, because it's really easy to have all the, because God does bless. If we're confirmed to his word and stand up what's right, God will bless. But a lot of times we go on going and we don't have that thankful heart. We need to have a thankful heart and say, Lord, thank you. Sometimes I'll just sit back and just say, you know what, Lord, thank you for this job. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of, you know, being mad about all the incompetence in your job, just to thank the Lord. Hey, look, you know what? There's a lot of people out of work right now, but yet you have me working, making good wage. And so this is what the Lord is saying through the prophet. Verse 3, surely I will take away the prosperity of Baasha and the prosperity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and die in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did in his might, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Verse 6, so Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tizrah. And Elah, his son, reigned in his place. Also, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hananiah, against Baasha and his house because of all the evil he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam because he killed them. So here we have that it ends up with that Baasha ended up dying in his sins. And next, his son's going to take over the place, but you're going to see a recycle of it. You know, there isn't, like, at least with Judah, Asa, when he came, he began to be the conformer. He began to throw down all the things, and he began to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, I don't see this in the Northern Kingdom kings. They just seem to just keep killing each other, just going on and on and on. And until God's judgment comes on them, and then somebody rises and kills them. And that's basically what we're going to continue to see. In the 26th year of Asa, the king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years in Tizrah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariot, conspired against him. Now, see, it's happening again. We got a commander, almost like Baasha. He's going to come, and he says, you know what? I don't like the way this guy's doing things. So here he goes. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, the king of Judah, and he reigned in his place. Then it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on the throne, that he killed all the house of Baasha and did not leave one male, neither of his relatives nor his friends. So Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha, according to the word which was spoken against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Eli his son, by which they had sinned, and by which they had made Israel sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? So once again, the loving hand of God reaches out to these guys that are in deep sin. And he's saying, look it, remember, I'm giving you a chance. That's why it's amazing how people want to categorize God in their own fleshly mind and say, well, yeah, I don't believe God is a God of judgment. I believe he's a God of love, and I don't believe he'd send anybody to hell, or, you know, all the places that the Bible does predict. But they don't realize that God every day right now, through one of us or somebody in the body of Christ, God is reaching out to those people in sin, and he's saying, look it, there's going to come a day. I came as a servant to die for your sins, but I'm coming back as a king and a judge. Mm. And there's going to be judgment for those that do not believe who I am. And no matter how much we want to categorize God as a good God only and love, he is a good God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. But he also is a loving father that will take care of his children when they're out of hand. And that's what we see here, is that God reached out to Baasha, and he said, Baasha, straighten it up. Start walking in the potential that I gave you, and continue being like everybody else. I just believe that Baasha, when he finally got in reign, he just probably loved all the acceptance that all the servants and everybody was given. So after a while, he says, hey, it's not a bad deal. You know, why should I be like Judah? You know, I'm going to be like what everybody wants me. It's true. People like to be popular. They like people to like them. But you know what? It's not always the case. So here we have that Elah, the son of Baashah, he only reigned 2 years. 2 years he reigned. He reigned as a king. And then Zimri, the commander, after 2 years, he said, you know what? I can do a better job than him. And so he kills him.
Wow.
And we see here, let's see where we're at.
18.
14. Or we can go, it'll be on the next one. But Zimri, what happens is that there was a royal feast where King Elah was getting drunk and Zimri came and killed them. So here's this king, he's going to a festival. We'll see it in the next couple chapters. He goes and he begins to get all drunk. And then that's when he gave Zimri a chance to go in there and kill him when he was drunk. So this king didn't even realize that he had enemies in his own camp. So Zimri also killed the house of Baashah, just like Baashah did to the house of Jeroboam. So you see a recycling of this evil that's happening. It just goes on and on and on. I wonder if there was a son or daughter, somebody there that God could have reached that would pray, that somebody, that God would raise another leader there and become a reformer like King Esau. But there never was. And so there was a continued killing and murdering and then taking the seat as king. Which brings me to my first point, and that is that we can't ignore what God is talking to us about. Because the very thing that is going to come on us, will come on us. And that's my first point is this. Whatever is ignored will be what overcomes. Whatever is ignored will be what overcomes. If I ignore God's warning, then that evil that I'm in or that sin that I'm allowing in my life will eventually overcome me. We cannot ignore what God is trying to show us. You want to be an overcomer, then we need to follow the direction of what God wants in our lives. Those things that He wants us to get rid of in our life. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 19 will be our scripture reference. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 19. Second Peter chapter 2 and 19.
Amen.
Well, they promised them liberty, they themselves are slave of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage. For if after they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in themselves, overcome. And the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And that's what we see in these kings. You'll watch, and as each king rises, and as they kill, and they murder, and they deceive, and they continue to do the evil, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Okay, so let's go back to 16 now, and verse 21 now.
We should say that in the world today.
Yeah, we do. Or verse 15. It's exact the same. It continues on and on until somebody rises up and say, no more. That's it. But until then, it'll continue to recycle itself. I wish I could tell you in this recycle that there was a broken, but there won't be until the next couple chapters. Amen. Verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, the king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistine. Now the people who were encamped heard and said, Zimri has conspired and also killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with them went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. Mm. Wow. Here this guy takes rain. He reigns for 7 days. This is the shortest period of time. He reigns 7 days, and then Omri, the people that were, he was a commander over that army, and he gathered them, they gathered him together. And they said, we don't want that guy. I mean, look what he did to the king. You don't think he's going to do that to us? You know, it's hard to trust somebody that goes and takes power on himself and waits for somebody to be in their weakest moment and take them over. It's hard to trust somebody like that. So they said, you are going to be, Omri, you're going to be the commander. So when all of them went to that city where he was at, he was in a hopeless situation because what he took wasn't done by the Lord. It was done by his own ingenuity. Mm-hmm. And so when it was taken and all the people were coming against him and he knew that he didn't have a chance, he was in such a hopeless situation that it didn't even bother him a bit. He burned down the palace of the king. He took it away from and he stayed there and committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you have to be in a real hopeless situation to take your life like that.
Yes.
And a lot of times when people are in that hopeless situation, you never really know about it. I remember this one young man at my job. He worked for another department of utilities. And we used to always talk all the time. And he seemed like a really happy-go-lucky person. And then we moved to another yard. He stayed over there. But never in my mind did I ever imagine that he had that many problems. And then later on, I read it in the paper, and then later on found out that he took his life. And he went out. His wife said, he just said he was going to go out in the car, out in the truck. And he took his life with a gun. So I always prayed to the Lord, Lord, if there is somebody that is in that much pain, please lead me to them. Lead me to them so that I can help them through you or get them some help. But there's so many people like that today. You know, they live a hopeless situation in their life. And that's why, you know, we as believers, instead of just worrying about what God could do for us, we need to continue praying. God, use me as an instrument for the hopeless out there. So we see after he burned himself down, verse 19, because of the sin which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the ways of Jeroboam, his sin which he had committed made Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So very, very short, brief thing of Zimri. And we see that he killed Elah and his family, reigned 7 days. The army heard about it and said, we're not following him. They withdrew from fighting and went and attacked at Tisra. And Zimri's seen something he'd never seen before. And he, mind you, he was an army commander himself, but he never seen something he'd seen before. I'm believing that he had a lot of guilt of what he did, mm-hmm. you know, of disrespecting the king, even when he's evil or not, but he was under disrespecting him and taking him. And you know what? That happens, you know. What people have sowed, they're going to also reap. Brings me to our second point this morning as we look at this little short briefing of Zimri and his treason. And this is what we need to think about. Point two is this. Decisions without God are hopeless when they are taken away. Mm-hmm. Decisions without God are hopeless when they are taken away. See, when we do decisions with God, even if they're taken away, we still get the strength of God, correct? But when we do it on ourselves and we put our trust on the things that we do ourselves, it hurts a lot more because you're not thinking about God. You're just thinking about what you're losing. But when we do it with God, God is there. Amen. And he's there to help us through. He's not going to take us away from the pain, but he's going to help us through that pain. I want to be not what Zimri was in. I want to be with God in a decision with God. Any decision I make, I wanted him to lead me in it because he's going to be the one that will help me through it. Decisions without God are hopeless when they are taken away. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see in Zimri. He took over the king. He conspired assassination of the king. Mm-hmm. All that. And then and to be there only 7 days, I mean, that was the shortest period of reign. But to get to a point where when everything started going bad, he didn't think about God at all. And there was no prophet to speak to him that if he did, he was all by himself. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 13, 12, our scripture reference. But we all can get in that situation of Zimri. And remember, for us to remember, is my decision being based with the help of God, or am I doing it all on my own? That's what we need. That's what we need to think about. Okay, even though that we're walking for God, there's a lot of times we're making decisions on our own, and we end up reaping the reward of our own decisions. Proverbs chapter 13 and 12. There's two words here that I wanted to look in the Hebrew definition, and I'm going to read it as the definition. It states, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, it says in the Hebrew, hope delayed under defer makes the heart grieve. That's what the sick means. In the Hebrew, it means grieve. So when hope is deferred, when it's delayed, just like it happened to this man, he began to get so grieved that he just couldn't take it anymore. He just said, you know what, better that I just take my life than to let them hurt me. Wow. And you hear that a lot about people that commit suicide. They just get so sick and tired of the whole situation. But it's really interesting also that people I've seen that went in that situation to kill themselves, they always get to a euphoria to where they're just like, no, you know, they're happy about the decision they're going to make.
Quit fighting.
Yeah. So decisions without God are hopeless when they're taken away. How many times can we see ourselves, and how many times I could see a lot of people that have done that, and they go, what's the use? What's the use? You know, they tried everything out, but they never ever reached out and said, Lord, help me to trust you just like he's told me about. Amen. I thank God when my life was that situation, that when they told me about Jesus and about being filled with his spirit and being touched by God, that I reached out and got out of my pride and said, Lord, whatever that man said that I can have, I want. Boom. Amen. And it happened. Amen. That's all it takes, is to say, Lord, I want what he says, that you can lead me and guide me in my life. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to trust you. If Zimri would have had even a glimpse that the Lord God could have helped him, I wonder how his case would have ended. Okay, let's go back to 16, starting with the 21st verse now. Now we're going to go from Omri and his son Ahab. And we're going to see a lot about Ahab. He's a wicked king. But his father was Omri. Then the people of Israel were divided in two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ganat, to make him king and to follow Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni and the son of Ganah. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. So I don't know if he died because they overtook him and they killed him, or he just died of cause. The Bible don't really say. In the 31st year of Asa, the king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tisra. And he bought the hills of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria. And it literally means vanity. After the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill. Omri died evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all who were before him. So you see the recycling of it again. Now Omri comes in here, he takes over, and he goes right back into the sins of Jeroboam. Yeah. And his son's going to do worse, you watch, as we continue on. So he said he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all who were before him. Now I thought most of the guys before him were pretty bad, but now he said the word of the Lord is saying he did even worse, and his son is going to do worse. So it's not getting any better. It's recycling more and more. Okay. Verse 26. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, what he did, the might he showed, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. Now we see that Omri was so filled with pride, he went and built the city and called it Samaria and began to just, you know, continue. And he didn't care what anybody told him. He just, you know, I built this city with my hands and my men, you know. He died in his pride. Wow. And you're going to see how pride he was, because the next generation is going to be worse. Watch this.
That's crazy.
In the 38th year of King Asa, the king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord and was more than all who were before him.
Wow.
31. And it came to pass, though it had been a troubled thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ahab, king of Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, this guy even was worse. He went and got Jezebel. Jezebel was the daughter of the priest of idols, of Baal.
Wow.
One of the things God hated the most, he hated Baal. He hated Astaroth, he hated Baal, and he hated all those things that the evil that the people did. And here, this guy goes even further. He doesn't just worship the evil of Baal. Now he goes right to the people that have a priest and brings in that religion and even makes it even worse. And you're going to see as he brings the relationship between his wife and her father, they come in and they begin to rise up the idols again. The very ones that Esau began to knock down.
Why did he marry Jezebel?
Because he was so filled. And this shows you, when a person gets filled with their flesh, there's no reserves for anything.
Mm.
Anything. You know, you wonder why people do the things they do with children, with between each other. It's because what they're looking at, what they're listening to, what they're involved in. You never see a perverted situation in a person's life just because it automatically came on them. It doesn't work that way. It's what goes in the eyes, it's what goes in the ear, and it's what they continue looking and feeding in their lives. That's what brings people into a perversion in their life.
Mm.
Amen. And in the same way, as we begin to look at the Word of God, as we begin to study it, we begin to look at it, that gives us what we to look at and what we become.
Mm.
But this guy, Ahaz, just fed everything that his flesh wanted. He just fed into it, even married into it. Verse 32, then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal. Okay, now there's a temple of Baal. There's not just a statue, it's a temple now, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his day, Hazael of Bethel built Jericho, and he laid its foundations with Ibram, his firstborn, and his youngest son, Segub. He set up gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, when you read that, you don't go, well, that's kind of out of what's here. But let me tell you what's happening here. Ahab had charged Hazael of Bethel to rebuild Jericho in defiance to the curse pronounced by Joshua in Joshua 6:26. And what happened is that when the people of God went in there, and remember the walls fell down in Jericho, and they destroyed all the people, and they destroyed all the idols and all that, with the inspiration of God, Joshua said, whoever ever builds here, rebuilds Jericho, the curse of God will come upon him. So here he is, Ahaz, married into wickedness, and now he is he's fulfilling the curse upon himself even worse by going against exactly what Joshua, through this person of God, tell him that whoever rebuilds this city again, they're going to have the curse of God, the judgment of God. Wow. So what we see in the recycling of evil here is that there's something lacking. And it isn't evil. It's the good. It's the one that would stand up. It's the one that would come and destroy them and rebuild and bring Israel together. That's what God needs to do, is bring all Israel together from the northern and the southern and bring them back. And he probably will eventually, but it's going to be a while. But what I want us to see here, and this is my last point, and that is evil prevails where good is lacking. Evil prevails where good is lacking. And that's what we see in all these different kings and their families and all the evil and the killing, is that evil prevails where good is lacking. And our scripture reference will be Proverbs chapter 17 and 3. Proverbs 17 and 13. And Solomon really knew what he's talking about when he had that pen. It says, whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. And that's exactly what we've seen in the recycle of evil. That they rewarded evil for good, and evil will continue to break down. Amen. I don't want evil to reside with me. I don't want sin to continue to reside in my life, because I don't want it to continue on.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you today for this study that you have brought to us. And even though we've seen through all of it, that it seems like there hasn't been anything that's stopping this evil. But Lord, we love the way that you reach out in all the wrong that's being done. But it takes those persons that will say, yes, Lord, I see my wrong and I want to make it right. Lord, help us always to see that when we're wrong and you show us, that we will repent and make it right with you, so that we can walk away from that recycle of sin. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.